Hey everybody, welcome back to That Girl with me, Danielle Decker. So happy that you're with me today, and I'm excited. I'm excited for today's little message. I'm excited for what God has on my heart, and I hope that this is finding you well in your week. It was my birthday on Sunday, and I was just so blessed by everyone telling me happy birthday. What a simple way to make somebody's day, right? And it's funny, the older you get, the more you forget that it's your birthday. I'm like, oh yeah, it is my birthday, huh? But I wanted to plug this real quick that for my birthday, my aunt and uncle took my husband and I to see Jesus Revolution. And let me tell you that everyone needs to see that movie. Man, it is good. And kind of lights a fire under you a little bit, which we all need from time to time, right? And so if you haven't yet, go see it. If you're local and you're listening, I know Clinton Theater has it. I'm not sure. Oh, I shouldn't say that. I'm not sure they still have it, but they did have. And they've got the nice seats and everything in there. And so grab somebody, grab a few people, go see it, go watch it. You won't regret it. So good. And I'm telling you, I don't think that those producers, actors, you know, all the people that are involved in that movie, I bet when they started that movie, they probably had no idea what God was going to be doing, that there were going to be all these revivals starting, that, man, we are just living in some exciting times, you guys, and to see God's hand on things it's just amazing. I mean, really, there's not really words to describe it because we get to be here. And while we hear all the bad, there's so much good, but you have to be looking for it. You know, you have to be looking for the things. And, so that's my little plug, but it really did kind of lead into, what I'm going to be sharing with you today because, you know, I hope today that I can share what God's laid on my heart in a way that would, how do I want to say that? That it would make you, that it would open your eyes, right? That we can kind of change our perspective. So many times we've really, all we need is a quick heart check. And where's the position of my heart? And what am I giving my attention to? And it's not like some crazy intense lifestyle change or something. It's just like, I need to hold on. I took a little step to the left and I need to get back right. You know, I mean, so I hope that today that's exactly what can happen is we can see things because the title of today, actually is Ignorance is Bliss? You know, you guys have all heard that saying, ignorance is bliss. And, I want to challenge that statement today because I see so many Christians that want to maybe bury their head in the sand about things that are happening around our world, things that are happening in America. But you have to remember, when we're talking about the Bible, you cannot think of just America. I mean, actually, America's not even in the Bible, okay? So, I mean, obviously, we're God's people. I mean, we could get in a whole another, you know, episode for that. But what I mean by that is a lot of times when, as Christians, we should be looking, watching, paying attention to what's happening around the world. And sometimes when we think we're really paying attention, what we're really only paying attention to is America. And as you should be, as an American, you're a Christian and you're an American. And those are things that we need to hold extremely dear to our hearts, obviously. And don't ever forget that. But in saying that, we need to be focusing, we need to be seeing, we need to be paying attention, we need to be taking some time out to see what's happening around the world, because this is how we watch and see for the return of our Lord. Because it's not just about us here, right, in our, you know, cozy little lives here in America. And, but what I'm getting at is there's a lot of times that, there's so much going on, right? There's so much negative, and I don't want to start harping on the negative, but the reason I'm bringing this up is because I'm seeing so many Christians that instead of standing up against what is wrong, what is evil, what is demonic, is it's like, well, if you just stay ignorant to it, then you don't have to defend against it, right? Or if there are other things happening around our world and maybe you feel frightened by them, you bury your head in the sand because it's like, well, that kind of scares me or freaks me out. And so I don't want to hear about that. So, you know, I would rather be ignorant about that. And then I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to think about it. And sometimes I understand, you know, we have a lot going on in our lives, whether you're a college student, high school student, you know, playing sports and staying busy that way, or, you know, you're a working mom, stay at home mom, whatever it is, everybody has stuff going on. And it's easy to think I don't have time or energy or headspace to think about all of these things. But is that really what God wants for us? Is that how he wants us to walk out this life as Christians? I don't think so. Because we can't be ignorant. We just can't be. And I'm hoping today that as I share a little bit, the reason God doesn't want us to be ignorant is because when we see his truth, when we know his truth, we're not afraid. We're not worried about what's going on. We have a peace that passes understanding because we're like, well, God told me that was going to happen. He also told me that he would see me through it, so I don't have to be afraid of it, right? So I've got quite a bit of scripture today because we can't do anything, know anything, see anything if we don't ever open our Bible and read the word. You guys know that. I tell you that every single week. So we're going to start in Matthew 24, and we're going to start verse 3 through 4. And Jesus had been talking and his disciples come up to show him some things, and he's talking, Jesus is talking to them, and it says in verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So, you know, they're like, okay, you've been saying this whole message here, and you're talking about your coming, but how will we know? How will we know? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. I think what's happening in our world is there's so much deception, and we're going to dig a little bit deeper into those specific scriptures, but there's so much deception happening in our world. And when you're deceived, you're ignorant because you're believing a lie. And if you're believing a lie, you're ignorant to the truth. And sometimes it can be hard to discern if you don't have the wisdom to discern, because to be deceived, it's taking it, you know, deception doesn't start with this big, huge, flat out lie that you're like, well, I know that's a lie. Okay, well, then you're not deceived, right? You see the lie for what it is. So you have to remember, Satan doesn't come at you with this giant, ridiculous lie because you're not deceived by that. He's smarter than that, and he knows you're smarter than that. So what does he do to deceive you? He takes a truth, he twists it or perverts it just enough to make you question yourself. And once you start questioning yourself, you begin to believe a lie, and you are deceived. Just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Satan, all he did was say, did God really say that? Did he really say you couldn't eat from this tree, Eve? Well, what happened? He made her question herself. He made her question God. Maybe what he meant was, and see, that's what's happening. Christians and so many people are taking the word of God, his absolute, undeniable truth, and they twist it just enough to be deceived. Now, when you're deceived, what happens? You start to share that deception. And you don't necessarily mean to, but you start to, because it's what you believe. You started to believe the deception. And that's why Jesus is literally saying to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Meaning, you've got to pay attention. You cannot be deceived. Because if you start being deceived, that deception is going to run so deep. And I want to continue on verses 5 through 8. I started at 5, but let's go back there. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginnings of sorrows. Now, none of that sounds good, right? We listen to that and it's like, oh my goodness. Okay, Danielle, give me the good news, because that was not good news. But I'm here to tell you something. If you take a look around the world right now, all of these things are happening. And that's not to scare you. That's not to get you riled up. But listen, we're talking about not being ignorant, okay? So if Jesus is saying, the disciples are asking, what are the signs, Jesus? What are the signs of your coming? And he says these things, don't you think we should know about them? Because here's the thing, he told you, he's telling you right here. It's right here, I just read it. So when you hear about all these things and you start getting nervous or afraid or frightened, take a step back, because that's not who you are in Christ, okay? You have to remember, Jesus told me. I'm not ignorant to those things because I already knew that. Jesus already knew that, and he told me. So if I can trust him enough to receive him as my Lord and Savior, to seal me into a covenant with him and the Father so that way I can spend eternity in heaven, surely I can believe what he says here. So he's telling us, right? And he's saying, don't be deceived about these things. And it goes on to talk much more about more things that will happen. But we have to remember that we are caught up with him. Okay? And that time is coming soon. We cannot spend our lives with our head in the sand or saying, that's too much to defend the truth. I'm just going to keep going on about my day. You can't do that. You want to know why? Because he already told us. So you don't get to say, I didn't know. You can't. You don't get to say, well, I wasn't sure about that, Lord. I guess I really didn't know. And here's the thing. If you say that, it's only because you did not allow yourself to get to know his word the way that you should. Ouch. That might sting a little bit, but that's the truth. It is imperative that you grow to know his word, not for God's sake, but for yours. He has given us the answers. He has prophesied to us and told us, these are the things. Don't be deceived. Don't be ignorant. Okay? So now let's go to 1 Thessalonians, verses 5 through 11. Now, when I start reading this, you're going to remember that I've read this to you many times, because this is where we're at. And there's a reason why I want to read it, because we're talking about not being ignorant. We're talking about knowing exactly what God said, so that way we're not ignorant. So in 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 1, let's see here, where do we want to go? What did I have? Well, I lied. No, that's right. I'm looking at my Bible and my notes. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." You guys know, I've said this before in other episodes, no one has to tell you that spring is upon you. Why? Because you know the season that you're in. You know that the air is getting warmer. The blooms are beginning to come out, even if there is a little snow on the ground. Those blooms are still coming out, aren't they? And so no one has to say to you, "Hey, spring is coming." You're like, "Yeah, I know," right? That's what he's saying. This is easy. "But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness," meaning we're not blind. We see. "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober," meaning having a clear mind. We need to be watching and having a clear mind. "For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep," that means whether we're alive or dead, "we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just also are doing." Listen, he is telling us here, you cannot be ignorant to what's happening. You're not ignorant. When you've received Jesus, you are sons and daughters of the light, meaning you have understanding. Even if you sit here and say, "No, Danielle, I really don't understand," here's where you're missing it. You might not understand yet, but the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells inside of you understands full well. And when you begin to tap into that power, and we talked about that last week, remember? When you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon you and you will receive power. When that happens, the Holy Spirit, you have the power to understand. And when you tap into that, he begins, his job is to reveal and unfold things before you. Okay? That's his job. And that's what he will do. We don't have an excuse to be ignorant to the truth of the times that we're living in, the truth of God's word and what he has to say about the things that are happening in our country and in our world. And we cannot be ignorant to the fact that our time here on earth will come to an end. I'm not saying it's tomorrow. I'm not saying it's 2 years from now. I don't know when that time is. Only God knows that. But I'm here to tell you that if I can read all of these things, and this is what Jesus said 2,000 years ago, and I see those things happening now, I cannot be ignorant and say, "Well, that's not for me. I'm just going to keep going on about my day." No, no. See, it's our job to say to others, "I have the answer that you're looking for." There are people out there that are scared. They're suffering. They're looking for peace. They're looking for an answer. And you have the antidote to the sickness, but we hold it to ourselves because we don't want to ruffle any feathers, because we don't want to have to defend our truth. Or maybe you feel like, "I don't even know what to say." All you have to say is, "I know who I was. I received Jesus, and I know who I am now." You don't have to know the Bible verse by verse, scripture by scripture, word for word, to be able to help someone come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus. You don't. That's a lie. That's a lie to keep you down and keep you feeling not good enough to be able to share His truth. God's truth, the truth of Jesus, is easy. He made it easy so that all could come to know His saving grace. That is why He made it easy. This is not hard to understand. And when people are afraid and they're upset and they're scared and they're searching, people are searching for something to fill them. Why do you think we have all these people that are confused about who they are, what they're doing? My goodness, you guys, take a look around. We have the answer. We have it. And because we're afraid of what someone might say, we keep it to ourselves. Never, never. You say, I know who my God is. And he told me these things in His word, and you can read them too. But He tells us, do not be afraid, because Jesus is still King. God still reigns. I don't care what happens. I know who wins in the end. And you know it too. And if you have that answer, how can you hold it inside? You can't. You can't say, I didn't know. You can't. It's impossible. Because the Holy Spirit is always speaking to you. Always. And if we would take the time to open our Bible, read His word. Listen, I mean, I'm asking for 5 minutes. And God doesn't need you to do it for Him. He asks you to do it for you. He's saying, listen, I know you're seeing all of these things happen, but I told you about them, so don't be afraid. Because I already knew it was going to happen. Don't be afraid. Wouldn't you say that to your child if you say, hey, I know this thing is going to happen, but when it does, don't worry, I'll be right here. There's nothing to worry about. It might feel scary for a second, but just come right back to me. I'll be right here and it'll be fine. I'm going to take care of you, right? How comforting. How comforting. How much more our Father in heaven is doing that for us right now. Right now. But we can't be ignorant. We can't be ignorant. We don't get to say, I didn't know. Now, we've got a little bit of scripture to read real quick. I just want to get through this real quick because it's too good. And again, we can't say we're ignorant. So we're going to read, right? So 2 Timothy 3, we're going to start verses 1 through 5. It says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Now these next words, let's see if this matches anything that we're going through right now. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Listen, these things are happening. These things are happening right now. And from such people turn away. What does that mean? Does that mean that we don't share the truth with them? No, absolutely not. What it means is you don't bind yourself to people like that, but we always speak the truth in love to people. Always. We can't look at people and say, you're exactly what God said you would be in the last days. No, no, no. We have the answer for them. But God's saying, this is what's going to happen to people. We can't be ignorant. We're seeing it rampant. But you know what? Remember, like we talked about, but God will raise up a standard. God will raise up the standard. And while He raises up that standard, we are the ones that set that forth and into motion, that standard would be in us and through us, because He sets that standard and we are the ones to walk it out and help others and bring them alongside. Because see, we should be linking arms right now as Christians. We should be linking arms and saying, yes, let's go. And instead, we have Christians that are burying their heads or turning away, or they are being deceived. And I hate to say it, but some people, I think they're just deceived on purpose because they care more about the world than they do about the word. They would rather be loved by the world than hated by the world. They would. They don't want to set up against what Satan is doing. They don't want to have to deal with it. They don't want to have to defend it. But I'm here to say it's worth it. Was it worth it for you? I know it's worth it for me. Because it doesn't matter what the world says. I know what God's word says. And I know that his word is truth. And I don't have to back down. I don't have to. Now, I can do it in love, of course. Because you have to remember, God loves the people. He hates the sin. God hates the sin in my life. That's why he sent Jesus to bear it all. Because he loves us. He loves us. He loves every single person, whether you're living in sin, whether you've received him or not. The price was already paid. It's just whether people receive him or not. But we have the answer. We have it. And when we read our Bible, we see that we are close. We see the things that are happening in our world. Can't be ignorant. Verses 13 through 14, 2 Timothy 3. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Listen, we have to be wise. Multiple times I've read today, do not be deceived, that others would be deceived. And when you're deceived, you share that deceit, whether you mean to or not. But there are people out there that they're deceived, and they're going to share their deceit because they want to, they want to be right. They want to have the likes. They want to have the praise from the world and somehow put it on God's shoulders. And it's not right. But see, we can't be ignorant. We have to know his word. We have to know it. Because when we know his word, we know God's heart. And when we know God's heart, we can live it out and we can share it with other people. Because that's what he's called us to do. And it says all scripture in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. The scripture is given by God and it's profitable for us, for correction. So that way, as a man and as a woman of God, we're complete. And then we're equipped to go out and do the good work. See, we're deceived and we're ignorant when we don't have the word. But he says when we do, when we have it, when we have this God-inspired scripture, we have everything we need to be equipped for the work of the ministry. And let me tell you something. It's not, oh, Lord, what's my ministry? Is it praise and worship? Is it pastoring? Is it this? Is it that? Listen, okay, yeah, God's called us to all of those things. There is something for you. But listen, the minute you receive Jesus, you have a ministry. And you know what it is? It's your life. Your life is a ministry because you are always sharing the good news of Jesus. That's who you are now. And in chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Listen, we need to be ready. How are we ready to preach the word? How do we become ready? Well, number one, we get to know God. We read our Bible. We stay in the wisdom. We stay with Him. We know what He says about things, so that way we know where we stand. Because I always want to be on His side, because I know who wins in the end. We can't say, "I didn't know, Lord." He says, "No, I told you." Now, once you receive Jesus, you're sealed. You're not going to lose your salvation. Whether you share Jesus with anyone ever again, you won't. You'll go to heaven. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, that it's not dependent on us whether we get to go to heaven or not. But I'm going to tell you right now that when you see the things that are happening around our country, around the world, and you know that you have the answer, there's no greater joy than sharing that answer with somebody else. There isn't. And you know what? You're going to catch some flack. You are. There are going to be people that are not going to like what you have to say, and that's okay. Because you know what? Every time someone gets mad and someone says something to me about whatever it is, you know what? I just say, I know I'm doing something right. Because if I wasn't, the devil wouldn't even be attacking me. He wouldn't even care. So you can't think, I'm coming up against this opposition, I don't want to do it. No, you should be saying, all right, cool. I know this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, but we can't be ignorant. It's the love of God that leads us to change our mind. Listen, when you know how much He loves you, you change your mind. You start to believe like Him, think like Him, love like Him, and you share that with others. And as we see the time drawing close of our Lord and Savior's return, how exciting. You begin to see things. Your eyes are open to a whole new way of living, because you see things like, wow, God told us. This is exactly what He said would happen. I'm not afraid. I have peace. I have the peace that passes understanding that only Jesus can give me. And since I have that peace, I got to share it with everybody. Because I'm telling you right now, people are searching, and you have the answer. So don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Open your Bible and read His word. It will change your life. I know I ran a little long today, guys, but I felt like there was just a lot of scripture, a lot that I wanted to share, and probably more that I could share. But I hope that this blessed you. I hope that it helped you to gain some perspective and see what God is saying, and take some time to read your Bible. Take some time to see what's happening. It's exciting times that we live in. We don't have to be afraid. So share this message with someone else that needs some encouragement, that needs to know that God is with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. That's a promise that we have in Him. And I wanted to give you one other quick update. Soon I will be doing another Q&A with Pastor Paul. So please, I'm working on getting an email set up for you to be able to email me your questions. But if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, please, please send me a message if you have any questions at all. We had so much fun the last time we did that. We would love to answer any questions that you might have. That's going to be coming up soon in a couple of weeks once I have some questions. So please let me know. And you guys have a great, great rest of your week. And I'll see you here next week at That Girl.